Okay, let's start. Is everybody here? So the Freedom CPU project started in the mid-98. As Graham noticed, nobody would even believe it would exist and would succeed. Well, now it's more than 2 years ago, almost 3 years. And a lot of things have changed, so we are here to present not the technical sides, but all the philosophical sides, legal problems, or a bit of organization that can arise, that have arisen in this project. Some people say that it's almost the same for all projects, but here we are not only free software, but also free hardware. And what is free hardware is still to be defined, because it's brand new, it's a few years old, and there is no strict definition. We are more close to the GPL, to the FSF, sense of the name, hence there is no we are not open CPU, but free CPU.
So, as Jan said, we are free, but we are quite, we are not, you may think, oh, this is a Franco-French project. Actually, it's not the case. We are coming from a lot of countries, a lot of regions. There are some people from Asia, Japan, for example, some people in the United States, too, some people in Germany. People of the CCC were very helpful, and there is even people in Mexico, and so you. Nobody in Iceland, so sorry, but there's people everywhere. We have also a strong presence on the net, because as you might guess, managing to have people from different countries to work, we need to have a mean to share the data, to share the ideas. So in order to share the data, we have websites in different countries. We have websites in Deutschland, Germany, Deutschland something else. It's at fcpu slash da.
.com and .net are registered, so we are safe from squatters.
Cyber squatters. And we have, of course, French websites, one at the April Association pour la Recherche en Informatique Libre.
They don't have a site, but they help us for some organizations' sites.
And there is one, too, at Linux.fr, our main site. We are using CVS, of course, in order to share the files, to see what has changed. Thus, we have at least two CVS running at that time. The first one is at seul.org. The other one is at gaos.ta. And we are using, of course, mailing list, three of them. One is hosted by the April. We have a US international mailing list, a French one, and a German one. Of course, we are using other means of communications. One of these is doing speeches and conferences, just like today. Other one include, of course, the IRC. It's very important, on phone call too.
On some and articles in the
yes. On the writing articles on
Linux Focus, software development in the US. They have made an edito 1 year and a half ago. City in Germany, Aruba in Spain, Linux Loader and Linux Magazine in France, and a few that we have not been able to track, But we try to write articles and to communicate so people from different parts of the world and with different backgrounds can know and participate with the project.
On what is important, because this is our project, we believe in it, but we may be totally wrong. This can be dead, but actually other people write articles about our project. Other people have got an interest in this project. Thus, we are not the only one to believe this can be done. This is very important. Some 1 or 2 minutes for questions? Because it's better when we have some feedback with the people. No questions?
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak louder, please?
So maybe you could first show us how far you are with the developing of the project. What have you done now?
That is coming. What we have now, it is first, most importantly, a manual in LaTeX. First, it was written. That's one of the early drafts. Now we are we have some of the units. Some of the units are being written in VHDL because. Some of the contributors and VHDL writers are German. Unfortunately, they couldn't come today. For example, there is Michael Ripp, who has written the add sub unit, which subtracts and adds numbers, but according to the constraints of the CPU. Some of the units are ready, but we have a lot of problems with the tools themselves, because there is no free tool in the GPL sense that works and that is simple and available for everybody to work with at home.
So we have
the manual that was written in HTML. We are not translating it to LaTeX. It is being translated to French and German by different people. So we want to be easily understood by the newcomers, even though they don't read the manual.
This is our main problem. It is the, as usual, RTFM, and a lot of people are asking questions on the entry point in the project is to read the manual. It's not that technical. It is, of course, everybody who has studied a little computer science on microprocessor architecture can understand. If you know what a RISC system is, who knows, who do not? Just a poll. Who knows what a RISC is?
RISC,
yeah?
CPU.
You don't? Two or three? Mm. Yeah.
Okay, one half.
You don't? You know, yeah. So those, as you can see, nearly everybody can start on this project.
And we need webmasters. You can apply here.
Yes. Just like in the PostgreSQL, we need actually people with a lot of time, because there's a learning curve. Of course, it's a hardware project. It's not like three or four lines in PHP. This kind of project everybody can start in an evening. But on the other hand, it's a good thing, because we know that the people who have achieved this learning curve are going to stay with us. Thus, we are on a steady rise. The people join us, and little by little, there are more people working on this project.
what we are looking for. We are looking for knowledgeable webmasters. So this is, we are not looking especially for people in electronics. We are looking for some time on workstations, because we have to run some tools. It takes time. It can be hardly done on PC class computers.
Well, up to now we can do the first simulations on tiny bricks, because as you have seen the rough architecture, it is very it is split into little pieces, so one piece can fit in a normal PC. When we will want to make a full chip and make FPGA with a lot of gates, etc., it is hardly done on a normal PC.
So you have now, you know what we want to do. The other question is what we want to do a processor, but what to do about it, because a computer is made of some layers. Some layers are in a software, others are in hardware. It can change. Thus, I'm going to tell you a few things about software now. You may know that some processors are designed specially for Windows NTM.
NT.
This is not the case. This is a high-performance CPU for high-performance operating system. Thus, you can do, of course, word processor and the like, but if you have to do multimedia, number crunching, scientific applications, everything is made for it. Of course, this is going to be a Unix-like operating system on top of that. There are some patches for GCC. Of course, when we see operating system, Unix-like, GCC, a lot of people think Linux. And Linux is a good potential operating system on this CPU.
However, to complete his remark, FCPU is more is closer to Alpha than Pentium class CPU, so it will be maybe easier to go from the Alpha port and port it to the FCPU. Now I'm going to speak about money, because it's all what matters in this world. when we speak about FCPU to professionals, I've had this occasion several times. People stare at me and say, "Are you crazy or what?" Because there is a strong mentality in the microelectronics world. We are electronicians, but hobbyists. While industrial people think about short-term revenue, they think about the market share they want. And for them, opening the sources, even letting people reading the sources, is like a threat to their business. So they look at me and say, "What are you doing?" Well, what we have to do is to educate them, to show them that it can work and it will work. People like the Open Core team have started to be more involved in the industrial world. And now we are trying to see how the FCPU can be integrated in the industry. And it's not that difficult if we look at other examples in the free software and in what people really do as hobbyist, because there is also a split between There is also a big difference between hobbyists as we are and industrial, so we have to make them understand that they can make money through reversing what they do to the community, but often they don't like it, so we have to make them understand that if a competitor enhances upon their sources, they can have the enhancement back and forth and so on. They think in short terms and think that when it's lost forever. We have also rooted in the FSF dream of equality, etc. So we want the companies who who give to the FCPU project we want a fair competition, in fact, because what we see today is a patent infringement lawsuits. When you look at the news, you at the electronic news, you see patent infringement all the time. There are endless lawsuits, and by going through the open model, we hope that we will end these endless lawsuits, because as far as I have seen, there has been no breach in the GPL, because GPL is a gentleman agreement, and by doing fair rules, not taking things forever, but giving back, we hope that we can make a fair industrial frame, and I hope that in the future not every company will spend 30% of its income into legal into its legal department, because today industry is very productive and very hairy about publishing code.
Please don't forget about the microphone. Yeah. I'm just looking for recording that.
Yeah, we believe that the FCPU project and all the open software project, along with open hardware and free hardware project, will shift the problem of intellectual property down to the hardware itself, because what we think can't be bought. So in fact, the hardware, what you pay, you will pay. I hope that in some time we will pay only for the sand and not the time that is spent on the project itself. That is one of the end goals, end dreams, and utopia of this project. We believe that it is possible. However, the current system in the electronics world is not yet doing the shift like the software industry has done. And we will see, like in the free software and proprietary software world, a mix of different things that can cooperate and hopefully in peace.
Now you may have a better grasp of the mentality in the electronics and the microprocessor industry, but of course you may wonder how those of grown-up kids, for the most of us, are able or will be able to compete with microprocessors such as Alpha, Spark, x86, who are said to be in a multi-billion dollar industry. Well, the problem is who run these companies? Are they run by engineers who design the best products? Are they run by lawyers? Are they run by shareholders who want the sooner and the highest return on investment? Just a poll, who think those companies are run by lawyers? Who think they are run by engineers? Who think they are run by shareholders? Yes, 4 of your 5, that's good. But, for example, Jan told me a story in the company he works in, where some people, where some products are very carefully designed and designed by lawyers. Because if there is a wire not in the good place or something like that, another company can attack you for copyright infringement. Patent infringement. As you can see, the lawyer is very important because those intellectual property rights, are they right or are they wrong, I do not know, are used both as an economic weapon, because if they attack you and you cannot fight, you will lose, of course, because you cannot afford to pay the best at lawyers. This is used too in order to control the market. Thus, their products are designed very carefully. On the other hand, there is the marketing department. Very important, the marketing, because they want to say to sell you the this has to be compatible with a microprocessor built 10 years ago, and this has to be a very close coupling with Wintel monopoly. Who knows Wintel? Who does not? A lot of people know them. This is some of their problem. Thus, their products, for example, Intel, they want to achieve compatibility. Yes, but if this is a recursive, and you can go very, very deep down in the years of the 4004 microprocessor. Because there was the 4004, 48, 416, and the like. This is why we can compete with them, because their products are not designed by engineers in order to achieve the highest performance available. This is what they want you to believe. With the new bloop, 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 you may have play quake and the like, but this is not the case. But on the other hand, we have to be very cautious. Some time ago, we were very low under the radar. Now that some people talk, write articles about this project, there's a spot on their radar. If they feel we can be a danger for them, they will attack us. There is another reason for them to sue us, for example. If they want our, they want the FCPU, but they, or some feature of it, and they do not want the other people to have it, what are they going to do? They are going to sue you, to sue us, and they are going to tell us, oh, well, let's do a deal. Yes, Jan, let's do a deal. We had some problems, but after all, you are a very good, a very competent chief designer. Work for us, just for us. We are good guys. Yes. And the others will not. Thus, as you may have things, who owns a DVD player? Yeah? Have you heard of a problem in a northern country with the DSS, and the lawyers came from, I would say, not from America, but this is what happened. This is why we have to be a very distributed and redundant website resources. Because if they manage to have closed the archive, they have everything. but it's more more tricky than this, because we have to think that every of us is expendable. If they want to sue somebody, somebody else will do the job. They will run for a long term of time, because we are in different countries. Different countries, different laws. But the problem is that our websites, our CVS, are hosted by ISPs. You know that there is a trend today of globalization, of fusion. If different ISPs tend to belong to the same group, one of the ISP takes a decision to close your site, the other one of the same group will do the same. This is why we try to be as international as possible, to have website, for example, if we could have one in Russia or in China, should be nice, because the lawyers will have a very hard time to explain them that there is a decision in this court, and they do not care. Another thing we are doing is to not have an official structure. If we have an official structure, this one is designed, yeah, this is the main target, you attack it, you have everything. Thus, they do not know who to talk to. This is too a bad news, because when we want, for example,
sponsoring,
we want time on computers. The people in the industry, they want someone to talk to, of course. They are giving something, they would have, like, first of all, to you are going, but you are giving this or time on the machine, but who are you giving, who is that guy, you don't know. On the other hand, they want, and this is, I would say, a fair use. In their the way they, in their articles in the internal report to say yes, we are helping this on this project. This is one of our problems. In the other hand, money matters. Every project, of course, this project, because it needs hardware, we cannot have a central bank or something like that in order to have to fund the project. So what we do, when we need money, this had arisen nearly 2 months ago, on the mailing list there is, we need money, send checks to this one for this project, and as soon as the project is finished, the sub-project, I would say, this is, there is another one. So,
there is still a problem concerning the French law is, When you get checks, it is considered as income. So the few people want to do that because they don't want that to appear on their tax bill.
So the other problem is with, you have heard about web squatting. This can happen too with trademarks. For example, imagine that someone, or this had happened for Linux. Someone had the name Linux, registered this name. So what we are doing now is to try to register the FCPU trademark as soon as many times as possible on a distributed way. For example, 2 months ago, this was the project I was just telling you about, we had a field asking for at the French INP, Institut National de la Propriété Industrielle. What we did, the question was, who is going to do it? Because if it is someone, just one people, some people may think, oh, this is a takeover of the project, this is bad. And on the other hand, if there is a lawsuit or something else later, they will have just one name. Thus, we are co-owners. We are nearly seven of us who are co-owners of the trademark for 20 years. The lawyers will have a great deal of fun.
And now I will speak about the technical side, because I think that some people are expecting some meat to eat, because it's not only a legal project. So it's also a new architecture that has been
has been developed starting 2 years ago. Yes, now it's 2 years ago. First, it was defined as a first risk architecture. You know, your Patterson and Hensi books, just like MIPS, because people know that CPU. And on top of that, I came with different knowledges about different kinds of computers, DSPs, high-performance RISC computers, and it makes a strange mix of old and new features, and hopefully very new features that have been created for this computer. So we have no compatibility with
the okay. Good hardware.
That's some good hardware. So it is not compatible with existing architectures. It is not compatible with existing architectures, but experience shows us that if we want to succeed and have a long-lasting architecture, we have to be compatible with all the families that will be created on these architectures, but also we should not suffer from the growth of the architecture. So we have to make a clean and really scalable architecture, so we will not suffer the odds of the last Intel's CPU. If anybody has programmed in assembly the latest CPUs, he will understand. It is also not specific to Linux, because when the project started, people thought, yes, a Linux CPU. But in fact, there are a lot of different operating systems, open operating systems or experimental ones, etc. So the goal is not to make a Linux CPU, but make something that can evolve enough and be open enough for different software kernels, microkernels, whatever we can invent. So it is to note that it is not only for Linux. Otherwise, we would close too much the range of usefulness, and Linux in itself is not particular enough. You know that Linux has been ported to different architecture. If we make a Linux CPU, it is nonsense, because Linux has no special requirements. So we jumped all the technological problems such as die size or speed or power consumption, because it only depends on the technology that the implementer will use. If you take the architecture of if you take the FCPU architecture, it can be implemented in any technology you want. TTL chips, bipolar, gallium arsenide, CMOS, whatever. It will yield different performances. So we concentrate on the architecture and how the units communicate together. Because the implementation is always gates, transistors, doesn't change. And if you want to make a cheap CPU, you will scale down the chip. If you want to make a fast CPU, you will use expensive technologies. So you can get what you want, and you will get what you pay. if you know if you understand the Intel analogy. So now for some now for some features, it's based on the RISC family, because it's what is most what has the best. It is well known. It has been declined to very, very, very to many families with different approaches. It is known for a long time, so we know what works, what doesn't work. For example, jump target buffer or jump slot, delay slot. So we know what works, what will not work. So we can be sure to make something that will not suffer from others' defaults. Like in the RISC families, we have 32 wide instructions with three operands, with extensions to multiple read and write in the instruction, and we have only four opcode forms that are very similar to each other. We have 64 registers, so we have twice as many as a MIPS computer, and we have as many registers overall as Alpha CPU, and we don't have to move from one register set to another register set, because Alpha's register set is split. And here we don't have allocations problem, because it's a unified bank. It's very easy to design. There is no condition code register, because as the computer will scale up, condition registers include they involve a lot of architectural problems, and it is a limitation, because one cannot execute tens of instructions at once because of one bit that is the critical data path in the program. So we have several flags. We have enough room in the instructions to put very useful flags. For example, every computation instructions, such as addition, subtraction, multiply, etc., has a SIMD flag. So when the flag is not set, it is it performs the operation on one part of the register. And when the SIMD flag is set, it applies the operation on all the registers width. It's a bit, if people know MMX, SSE, and all the SIMD extensions, here you are reassured it is not an extension, it is by default, because it doesn't add another layer to deal with. So it is taken into account from the start. Because the registers can scale up, can be widened and widened and widened, and the instruction set will not change. So it is for compatibility. If you program cleanly, it will compute on 64-bit versions or 1,000, 2,000-bit versions, if you want. We have a very strict memory access scheme, because memory access is generates a lot of exceptions, and we deal with exceptions by removing them, simply by not using instruction that could fault. So we have a very clean pipeline, but we have only one way to address the memory through register. So it seems limited, but when you program, you will split all the separate instructions and mix them together, intertwine them, so it can yield to better performance with fewer hardware. Fortunately, during the store operation, we can update the register, so we can so we can almost look like a classical CPU. We have 8-bit for the opcode, and we have defined one half of the opcode map, so we have a lot of room for the future. And we have extended instructions which can do two read and two write in one instruction, or three reads and one write in the instruction. So it enables the load and store with update, and more complex instructions like multiply and accumulate. And to solve the problem of the jumps, we have a conditional move, which removes the need to jump on small conditions. And the rest is a lot of declinations of those basic goals that were defined more than 1 year. One year and a half ago, and now we are striving with programming in VHDL because of the tools. Let me finish with
details.
So some last details. It is a very the critical data path between two flip-flops, between two registers, is set to 6 logical gates. This means that we are almost as short, as fast, as what the latest Intel Pentium 4 is in the fastest fastest part. You know that the latest CPU from Intel have very high clock speed, but in some units it is over-pipelined, and FCPU is super-pipelined from the start with very, very short pipeline stages. This means that if you have an old technology, you can reach higher speeds and higher performance than more expensive technology. So we hope to increase the performance ratio for the hobbyists. So this explains why there are so many different units that seem to do almost the same thing, because that's what. And, so Just to end this description, the current implementation that you see has a function with a scoreboard, a very simple thing, and can do a smooth register backup, SRB, so it can backup a register set while starting to execute another thread. So it can speed up the context switching time. For example, when there is an interrupt or a new task, it is faster than coding with instructions, also backup instructions. Okay. The register bank has 3 reads and 2 write buses.
Okay.
So it can execute both instructions that have 2 that have 3 reads and instructions that have 2 write. And the scoreboard takes that into account to not issue instructions that would make a contention on the register port. Okay.
So now you may have a strong grasp on the technical point, on the technical side of this microprocessor. This is not as deep as can go. If you want to go deeper, you may refer to the mailing list or to the manual. But I would like to go again on the main aspects of this project. If I summarize the way we have decided to run this project, it's a very simple motto. It is by way of deception on transparency. By way of deception, everybody knows what it means. They think we are doing something, we are doing other thing, but we show what we do. And by way of transparency, every document, every data is available. Thus, we are very strong on this point. If someone decided to leave the project, this is not a problem. The work will be there. As the lawyer point of view, aspect of this project is important. Every contributor owns the copyright on his or her work. Thus, if someone wants to sue us, this is going to be very hard. Now we have, you may know that the project cannot be shut down. Thus, if people are interested, I mean, industrial people are interested in this project, they can adopt the whole feature or some of the features. This is the next question. It is who is going to adopt this, who is likely to adopt this project, on how to sell it. So for the people from the seeing this at a very low level of detail, you may believe that this is just another RISC microprocessor. So it is very easy to understand the basics, and then the people start to dig inside, and they discover a lot of things, and the deeper, the more complex it becomes. Thus, they can implement it on different levels. That's the first one. Who is going to implement it? Who should be interested? Of course, the one who are king of the hill. No name. Just don't say any name. The one who would like to be and who are not, or who used to be and who are very down. But it's not only I would say, industrials groups. It is too in countries. Some emerging countries who are totally locked. They used to be locked both on the hardware and on the software side. Whatever one may think of some countries, just like China, they decided to switch to Linux. It is not because they do not want to pay the Microsoft tax. No, they don't care about money. They do not care about intellectual property. What they want is reliable solutions with no surprises. Who reads /dot? Yeah. Who had ever heard about the latest backdoor in the French ADSL modem? Nobody? Oh. So, do you know ADSL?
Yeah.
Yeah. The French Alcatel ADSL modem. There's a backdoor in it.
Ah, right.
Yeah. On what it's, they have, I would say, quite a reasonable share of the ADSL modem market. Nearly the whole. Everybody who owns one of these has got a very nasty surprise. This is why, for some countries, it is really important to have reliable hardware. Because as Tannenbaum used to say in this computer architecture book, there is an equivalency between hardware and software. If you have a backdoor in software, you can have it in the hardware too. But people overlook the hardware because it just seems to be a box. This is another way. Now, what is going to happen if people start to adopt this processor? It's for free. All they have to invest in it is plants. That's all. They can expect a very high return on investment. They do not have to do the digging. They do not have to have the compatibility. But some people may wonder, there's no compatibility problem. But there used to be some problem long, long ago in the 1980s with some very interesting 8-bit computer. Who knows MSX? Who was in this? Yes. There were other computers, very interesting, but they did not sell. For example, Lynx was quite good, but Dragon, you know the Dragon computer? Yes. They died because they lacked applications. As we have a patch for GCC, as Linux, as would said Jan, is not processor specific, we have the applications. All we need is to achieve to have one working sample of the product, and then we believe things will go on. Thus, selling this project as another risk CPU for people who do not like risk, I would say risk taking, not risk technology, this will reassure them. This will reassure the shareholders, because those people, the engineers can read between the lines, of course. They know the data and they can see what it is. This is why a lot of companies can adopt it. Any questions? By the way, we lack feedback. It's important.
Maybe we are right, maybe.
We think we are not. Whoa. This is not going to lead to a Franco-German diplomatic incident. This is not a problem. Though there are some English people who used to burn Joan of Arc. This is forgiven.
Who doesn't believe I'm crazy?
Who believe it can work? Who believes the first time? When did you heard for the first time of Linux? When? What? Which year? 1998. We are going to do a poll. Who heard of Linux in the 1990? 1991, 2, 3, yeah. In 1993. Okay. Did you believe this? The first time I've seen Linux was 1995. I did not understand what it was, but oh, that's powerful, great. But this is going to be one day to rock Microsoft? Oh no. What did you believe? Yes, question? Can you speak louder, please? This
the L compiler and so on there. Yeah. Even the tools the firms use, I'm working as a PhD designer, are not very good sometimes, and they are selling thousands of dollars.
This is why we are looking for kosher software.
Kosher, GPL. GPL.
This is the critical point to it, because without GCC, there wouldn't have been any Linux system. So I think clean or kosher VHDL compiler would be really most needed, wouldn't it?
Today, what we use openly, because what is good with free software is you don't have to hack it to remove the keys, the protections. We use freewares now. We have found one freeware that is light, it is compact, it is easy to use, only one command, and and that works, and it is reasonable, and it is fully compliant with the standards, but it works now under Windows. It is being ported now to Linux. I have spoken to the writer. He doesn't want to put it open source, but he grants us that he will support us until we have some good GPL software of that class can exist, because we have tried. I am among of the people who have tried several software such as Electric Editor, Geda, and a few others. They're nice, yes, but they all have their quirks that makes it not suitable for everybody to contribute. And if we use tools that are not usable by everybody, we can't have any contributions.
I think up to now we have no power. Up to now you just have some simulation tools, and there are no tools for synthesis or something. If you want to make the chip,
So for this. There are maybe two synthesis tools. One is very limited in the VHDL standard. It is only one small subset. It's Alliance from the university where I hope I will be next year. Now I am working for Mentor Graphics. I am in the verification engine company. This company makes huge verification engines. I hope that the boss will let me play a bit after I left to study. So for the and the last thing is several people are students in microelectronics and have access to Synopsys and the others, and as well as professionals in microelectronics. So some people can run some batches. It's not open for everybody. We have no sponsor yet. Cadence has proposed us a free license during the era of the last December, but they never followed on because we also need machines to run them on. So it's a difficult side of the project, but a pen and a paper can do wonders. Because the compiler, the synthesizer, doesn't design. It just translates from one representation to another.
Yeah,
but we don't need to see the chip, the silicium work. We can simulate it. Usually we design something, we test it, we run it through simulators. Then, because it's so expensive, we make one batch. So it's how it is going to happen, because we can't build a white room in our house. You understand? So we are going to use small software until maybe a good software exists. We can't wait for the software, but we can wait with freeware or maybe not very good software, but we can design, and most of all we have to make a good manual. and that we need a text editor. Yes?
I really think the synthesis and implementation is a problem of the so-called distributor then.
Yes. It's like making the CD-ROM for a Linux distribution. You can transfer a Linux kernel through network, but the implementer will have its own fab and make it and use his proprietary tools. It's like you make free software that will be distributed by a distributor. He will use his own proprietary tool. We can't ask him to use free tools. So we have to be reasonable. Freedom is nice, but we have also to respect others, companies, etc. Any other question? So I will jump on my...
So I have other questions, because we have told you how we are organized, how we work. What do you think of the way we are organized? What would you do? What can you suggest? We are asking you to help us. So, ideas.
I don't understand why you're afraid of the legal problems and why you have to be so dispersed because of them. My understanding is that your main problem is patents, not copyrights law, and the possibility of you being sued.
Not even patents. If they can sue us on something, they claim, yes, this is our patent, and it is not the truth, we are dead.
Yes, but patents are published. If I copy somebody's patent and I produce a design, based on that patent, my understanding is that I have not broken the patent. It's only at the point of manufacture that I break the patent. Now, you won't be doing the manufacture.
The problem
the people who would sue would be the person who tries to make it, not
but
you.
But the manufacturer can go back to us and sue us for incitation.
Yeah. Well, why would they?
Law school is very vicious game, you know. It's a vicious game, you know. And you say, you can defend, you can say, no, this is not us, this is our lawyer. And you get what you pay for. Do you understand?
Mm.
How much can we pay for a lawyer? Not that much.
No, but for example, the Free Software Foundation is prepared to defend GPL cases based on DHGL code. Mm. So there is potentially legal help for you. It doesn't have to be everything created by you.
Yeah, have you heard about software patents?
Yes, we have. This is a long-lasting project. This project is going to be up in 5-10 years, okay?
At least, because I don't want to work that much for something that will last only 2-5 years.
You said today, what you say is true today, but tomorrow, we have to be cautious. We prepare for the worst. We are not going to have bad surprises if we did really prepare for the worst. And in the best case, we will have a very nice surprise. Everything will work fine. Yes, this is the bad news. Just like with every coin, you have two faces. The good news is that you are not that vulnerable. The bad news is that you are going slower. For the financial, there is another way of doing things. This is quite widespread in some countries where the people do not trust the banks. For example, in some countries in Africa, it's known as a tontine. Do you know what it is? Some people who know each other, it's based on trust, this system. And they give money, just cash, to another one for projects, and the other one give back the money and the like. They are alternate systems.
But
and they work.
Yeah, but from the legal point of view, it is considered as an income. So
from a legal point of view, in France, it's called exercice illégal de la profession de banquier. this is illegal banking application.
But there is also another way of doing the sponsoring. Is if you are interested in the project and you want to invest in that, there is one easy way to do. You just free up office in your building, and you pay FCPU developers.
There is another one way of doing things.
That is legal.
It's
completely legal.
Yes. On a lot of computers, there are some SETI at home running. Run FCPU at home.
No, it's not. It's not necessary because of the bandwidth and the throughput, because SETI requires low bandwidth compared to the high amount of computations.
No, it is just you play on the nice parameter of your computer, and when people leave the office, for example, for lunch, then you can launch some computing.
Now I will try to jump on my high horses, because I am electronician, so I like to go to electronic fairs and speak about the FCPU to professional people, and as I told you, they look at me, well, that's nice. So I try to explain a few tricks, because how to sell the FCPU. The first thing is they want to know a few bits about the FCPU, because it's something they discover because you speak about it. What is it? How can I have interest? Because they want they want to have money back. So the first thing they say is, when will it be ready? There, I don't know. Is there any schedule? There is no schedule, because if we try to make schedules, it never works. Every time someone want to plan something, doesn't work. So we are completely free. We do things as they come, because otherwise we forget them, and if we do them at the time when it comes, we are sure that it is written down. Then, how many people? I can't count, because there are a lot of turnover. It is designed mainly on the mailing list, and currently the English mailing list is like automatic pilot. You know, the people who funded the project have left, and for 2 years and a half, and almost 3 years now, there is a mailing list with no owner. Nobody knows how many people are on it. And we can only see what goes on through reading the messages. And we are trying to make a who's who page, little page that will say who are the people who have participated in the project. So it will is my work at selling the project. Selling is humorous. It's FCPU project is really something serious. It is something completely utopic, but experience has showed that the more utopic it seems, the more people gather. And after writing things, we end up with a lot of files that define a frame, and we have something that starts to be solid. So we can't, it's hard to explain that it is both utopic and working. And that corporations, companies don't understand that. Maybe the marketing people, but not the accountants, maybe not the salesmen. And usually people meet the salesmen because that's the people who are in front of the customers. It's very curious. And so they ask, will it compete against Intel? Well, what we give them is an architecture, is like an equations. You have inputs and you have a result. When you play with the inputs, that is the budget you want to put in the project, the performance you want, the technology that is available, you have a very, very wide range of performance. And we have no implementation. And before we have anything that works, it would be suicidal to give a performance. What we can give is rules and a frame. Then, if the company wants such a processor, he buys it. But he will have it. He will have the performance he pays for. That is something that people don't understand, because today people want raw performance, and 3 years later they buy another one that is better. FCPU wants to break with that and have an equation, something that gives a raw, large idea of what you can get, and you scale the equations. And last...
And moreover, when you deal with raw performance and the like, they are very cautious. Take, for example, some companies just like NVIDIA. They release a chip, or not a killer, a good one, on 6 months later, better, then better. This is the way they do. And they have, of course, legacy. I would not say code, because this is hardware, but they have some legacy. And they are very cautious not to be good, but not that good. We do not have that problem. And the people who just want to be in the field, they must strike very hard in order to be known. Thus, they can... this is what we hope. They will release the chip with the full
functionality.
Yes. In order to have, I would say, a quantum leap, or quite leap, just like a computer, with the others. This is, if they can achieve fivefold difference, they will not set back to twofold, because the marketing says, yes, but in 6 months we need, etc. They do not have this
problem.
That
is only marketing. That's what we call marketing. That's all. And I will try to explain that when you have explained that salesman or maybe manager or something like that, that your CPU is good, it is open, but he doesn't find anything interesting. He says that he's deceived because it's not what he wants. But often people want everything. They want the money, the performance. They want everything. They want scalability. They expect from us much more than is realistic. And they get deceived. And they not angry, but they try to make the difference between their money, well, that they gain with marketing, and the difference with something open with no guarantee, but they want something to sue. So they can't have both. They can't have something that is completely new, working in open source, and something that they can sue. And so they don't want to understand that because it is their system. That's for the rats.
Only newcomers can change the system. There are a
lot
of
people like you.
There are a lot of people now. The big firms, of course. I told you about shareholders, and actually those companies are very short-sighted. They close factories in some countries in order to open just the same factory, but in another country with very few laws, very low wages and the like. But the locals in this country, they learn the trick, they learn how to build a factory, they learn everything. And nearly, they are near to be able to produce their own chips. Those people are actually, those mega companies, are working with us, but they do not, they are not aware of it. But they are really helpful.
Okay, now the problem of the software is that we have the sources, okay, we can benefit a lot from the GNU project, and it's not everything, because GCC in itself doesn't understand a lot of concepts that are integrated in the FCPU. FCPU uses very, very recent tricks, super pipelining, that, and it will use much more tricks as it evolves. But the compiler doesn't know about SIMD, about perfectly mixing the instructions together in order to make two things at once, etc. A lot of tricks that hand programmer knows, but are difficult to let GCC understand. So we are working also on that side, because without those tools, the performance of the software will be disastrous. Not disastrous, but maybe 3 or 4 times less than it could do, really. We know that usually the normal CPUs compared when they are programmed with GCC and programmed by hand, there can be a twofold performance gain. But with the newest CPU, the gap is larger, even larger. So we can do a CPU, but it's hardware, but we do it. But we also need something to support the performance and the gains, so we are working on code generators. I am working on a project called GNL. It's a small project, but something that can be compared to interactive compiler, which does work on graphs and not on text. So we can get the output from GCC and manually rebalance the trees for the data dependency, etc., etc. Some people are also working on GCC adaptations, but it will not yield a good performance. We know that a compiler called Trimaran, that was designed for HP, it is an evolution of a compiler, open source, that can be retargeted to the FCPU. It's another work. It's difficult to do, but it's just a matter of time. That's more or less what is written. So, and now the problem of real reliability. People say that we can't apply the GPL as is, or the free software source paradigm as is to free hardware. Well, it's not exactly the same thing because it's obvious. People tell us that it's nice, but if I have the source of my CPU, I can't make a patch and send it to the factory to rebuild it. Well, it can be done at individual level, sure, but it can be done at industrial level, and that is what is done today. The other reliability point is when a bug is found in the CPU, there's the hardware, but there's also the software. For example, what I call the FOOF bug, F-O-O-F bug in the Intel, was known very, very early in the deep, but they did not disclose it. And other industrial companies such as AMD was forced to copy the bug. They analyzed the bug and they had to be fully compliant bug per bug. So for free hardware, it's not an option. It's not what is meant to exist. So there's the hardware part and the patch part. So we know that there's a bug by having the sources. And we can have the patches to the kernel faster. And that is one point that is overlooked by most people. If you know the sources, you can patch it, but you can also adapt what you do and patch the kernel in the meantime before the chip comes from the factory batch. Now, that's not interesting. Okay, I think that closes the presentation. Do you have? Is there any questions or issue raised by this presentation? Or well, yes. Mm-hmm. This is something else. I did not think about it when I wrote it. But, for example, you know that Alliance, the software, is written at the University of Paris, and they teach the student to design a MIPS CPU. But MIPS, as it is taught, MIPS is a very. It is 15 years old. The MIPS that is taught now is 15 years old, and providing universities with a common frame and open frame that they can contribute, and maybe make master theses that contribute to the CPU is something very, very important, because students are there are a lot of students in the group and they help a lot, for example, by having access to synthesizer software, etc. So we need help from, we need to cooperation between industries and universities and hobbyists. So it there are three things to not to unify, but to make a communication between them.